It is great to gather together with you here this morning at Jericho Road. I'd like to send my welcome to each of you and just trust that'll be a time of the Lord ministering to you and a good time of fellowshipping with one another in the Lord. So welcome. Welcome to each of you this morning. Well, as you know, we're going through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Let's turn there. Let's turn this morning to 1 Corinthians. We've arrived at chapter 2. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. I'm going to read our focus verses, which are right in the middle of the chapter. Then afterwards, we'll go back and catch up the context and all. But let's begin by looking at these focus verses. I'm going to jump into verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There is a wisdom from God. There is a wisdom that comes from above. And it's a wisdom that every believer has access to. For what Paul is setting before us is that truth, that there's a vast treasure of what God has for us and wants for us to know, wants for us to experience. But in the midst of that declaration, next, it begs a question. And it sets before us a challenge. Are we? Are we growing in? Are we experiencing? Are we exploring all God has for us? That's going to be the invitation and the challenge for this morning. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The mission this morning, that we might know. And that's what I've called our time together this morning, that we might know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, because behind all of this is your great, great love for us, to send your Son to die for us, to change our entire destinies, but then not to put us on a shelf, but that we can explore you. We can know you. We come into your plans and purposes for us. Lord, what an awesome privilege. What an awesome invitation. And Lord, what a challenge. So help us this morning, Lord, to hear and then act upon that which you're about to remind us of. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. That we might know is what I'm calling our time. Well, as I said, we need to kind of set the table. So let's go back now. Let's go back to verse 1 of this chapter. We're in 1 Corinthians 2, but let's go back to verse 1 and set the table. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now let's remind ourselves, that we might understand this text all the better, let's remind ourselves a little bit about the city of Corinth. Corinth was located in Greece, and Greece, of course, was a culture that was very focused on philosophy. They were the center for a great oratory. There were a lot of great speakers. They were very into that. And they were very much about hearing the latest theory that would come along, very much into philosophy and all. Wisdom, man's wisdom, was greatly admired, almost worshipped in that culture. So when Paul walked into town that day and was there for a year and a half eventually, when he came into town, he wasn't going to go with that. But rather, he purposed that when he came to Corinth, he wasn't going to try to equal or better the great speakers. He wasn't going to try to win people through his eloquent words or anything like that. He also decided that when he came to town, he wasn't going to debate all these great philosophical thoughts and all. Instead, what does it say here? Verse 1, I just came with the testimony of God. This mystery, the gospel. I purpose just to come in the simplicity of the gospel. And notice that. Look at verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look at that phrase. For I determined. That speaks of a conscious choice that Paul made. It wasn't like, well, I got nothing else to offer. No, he was a very intelligent man. He could have tried to get into that, but he chose not to. Instead, he chose to go with the basic gospel message. To keep it simple, I love that encouragement to all of us pastors so often is just simply teach the Bible. Simply teach the Bible simply. Keep it right there. Make it clear. Don't put a lot of verbiage, a lot of words and all that in front of people about it. Just set the love of God out there. So keep it simple is the admonition. And that's good advice for all of us when it comes to sharing about Jesus. Keep it simple. You know, a lot of times people, when they hear messages like by Billy Graham, my understanding is even some of the great evangelists, D.L. Moody, people like that, when you hear their message, so often you hear people say, like, what a simple message. What a basic message that people just flock forward. But that's by design, because it's spiritual battles that are going on. You're not trying to win people's heads. So they would just simply put the message out there, the pure gospel. One time they asked Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon has been said to be the prince of preachers. Some say maybe one of the greatest preachers since Paul. And they asked Spurgeon, they would say, you know, all your messages sound so alike. They all just sound so similar. Why is that? And Spurgeon said, well, it's because no matter where the text is, as soon as I start my text, I make a beeline for Jesus. I just go to Jesus with it all. And yet people flocked to hear because that's what people need. And so keep it simple. I decided I was just going to come and do what? Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Look back at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1. We looked at this last week, but if you weren't here, let's just look at it. Let's remind ourselves. Back in chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's why Paul went with this message. He knew that the gospel is the power of God. He wasn't going to get in the way of that. He was going to declare just a pure, simple gospel message. And so Paul here in our text here in verse 2 says, I came to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now make sure you notice that. That's not just a quick little thing he tacks on there, but that is the very heart of, the core of the gospel message. As Paul preached it, and as we all should share it, that is a key part of it. Salvation is found only in the person, capital P, of Jesus. It's not the preaching of being good or something. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not anything else, not anyone else. Paul didn't say, I came to preach scripture memorization. I came to preach church attendance. I came to preach good works. All those things have their place, of course, but we're not saved by them. No, Paul said, I came to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Important addition. He didn't come to preach a social Jesus. He didn't come to preach some sort of Jesus as a good teacher, as a prophet. No, he came to preach Him as Jesus Christ, Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, and Him crucified. For only saved through the One who went to the cross, but we're saved that He went through the cross for us to be saved. So it's all part and parcel of the same thing here. So he's saying, I came to preach Jesus as Savior, as the crucified Christ. It's only His death as an atonement for our sins that's the key to the gospel. Notice verse 3 now. And Paul says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. If we could paraphrase that verse, I would say Paul is saying, when I came there, I was real. I was there for a year and a half, and you saw me. You saw me in my strength. You saw my weaknesses. I was real with you. See, we tend to think of Paul as just being this always strong apostle and all. Not so. But he said, you saw me. I was in weakness. I was before you in fear. I was before you in much trembling. Don't have to be answered out loud, but have you ever been there? Maybe you had to speak before a large group of people, for your class or something at work or some big presentation. And you're so afraid, you're just trembling. Me, I've never been there. I'm frequently there. Reminds me of that pastor. They said, Pastor, how do you feel about the message you're about to give? He said, well, it must be a really good message because my knees are already applauding. I know. Pretty corny. Nervous. He said, I was trembling. And this is saying, I was real with you. You saw me for all my struggles. And Paul was not somebody who ever claimed to have arrived. He wanted to press on. We learned that in Philippians. I want to gain all that God has for me. I want to grow in this thing, but I haven't arrived. And that's what he's saying. You saw me. And may I just add this. As your pastor, you have the right to expect certain things from me. You have the right to expect integrity and honesty. You have the right to expect that I wouldn't be living a life of sin and, you know, overt sin and different things. And I try to hold myself accountable to that, just track with the Lord and all. But may I also add this. Well, you can expect certain things from me. If you expect perfection from me, then I will let you down. Because you know what? I'm still under construction. Now, I didn't see anybody go, oh, really? We thought you were perfect. But I'm just letting that be known. Of course, there's accountability. And you should look to me as someone growing in the Lord and all. But I'm under construction just like you. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, hey, you saw me. There were times I was afraid. There's times I was trembling. But he stayed at the task. He didn't let that dissuade him. He just kept at it. If you ever go to share and you're trembling, you're in good company. Paul trembled too. If you go and you say, I don't even know what to share with this person, and you bumble a few words out, and oh, they didn't say that very well, that's okay. The power is in the gospel, not your eloquence. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, I was there. I was totally afraid. But God did this work. And he's able to write to them a year and a half, well, further on, and say, and you know it's true because that power touched you. And so that's what he's pointing to, how this whole thing works. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul understood that conversion, true conversion, is not the result of persuasion. True conversion is not simply the result of persuasion. Again, we spoke about it last week, just reminding us again this week. You're not trying to win someone's head. The battle is for the heart. You're not trying to win an argument. God's trying to win the heart, the soul. And so it's not about persuasion. It's about demonstration. Not a demonstration of our eloquence and our intelligence, but of the power and of the Spirit. It's of the Spirit of God. That's what it's about, he's saying here. Why is that important? He says in verse 5, that's why it's all about that. That it's about a demonstration that this is of God. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It has been well said, what you win men with is what you win men to. What you win someone with is what you win them to. In other words, if human wisdom, eloquence of speech, some flattering way to put it, some great twist, phrase, you know, twisting a phrase or something. If lights and fog machines and everything else are what it's about, if you win them through the wisdom of man, then their faith is going to stand on the wisdom of men, and it won't stand in the end. It will fail. It will let them down. But if a person is brought to faith through the power of God, then their faith rests upon that, and that will stand. And so that's what Paul is just driving home here. Paul's saying that he taught as he did, he approached things as he did, because it was to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, not of human eloquence or something. And he taught as he did so that their faith would be in the power of God. And he taught as he did so that God would get all the glory, not man. But having said that, now we come to the verses that I want to really focus on. I believe we're to camp on this morning. As we've just seen, Paul stressed not looking to the wisdom of man for salvation. Paul didn't want theirs are our faith resting in man's wisdom. And to that we respond, right on. Amen. Exactly. But be careful. Watch what Paul now goes on to say. Salvation, nope, it's not in man's wisdom. But now watch what he says about this whole thing about wisdom. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. When you receive Christ as Savior, it's not that somehow we are turnips and we're to stay like a turnip. No, we speak wisdom, but don't be fooled. He said, I'm not talking about the wisdom of this age, which comes to nothing, will fail. I'm not talking about wisdom of this world. He's correct. He's saying, yeah, that's correct. Don't go with that. But it's not that we just stay there. But instead, there's a whole vast wealth of God's wisdom that we're to know and grow in. And we're going to look at that this morning. Paul says, however. He says, hey, we speak wisdom with those who are mature. And again, not a worldly wisdom. Well, if it's not a worldly wisdom, if it's not a wisdom of this age, what kind of wisdom is it? Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So we speak a wisdom, but it's the wisdom of God. And it is a mystery to this world. They don't get it. He'll talk more about that in a moment. So what does this hidden stuff mean? What's it all about? It's spiritually discerned. You can only know it through the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life, revealing it, leading us into it, exploring it. But think what the Holy Spirit has done for us, all of us who are believers, followers of Christ. Think of it. We knew nothing about God, really, until He entered into us. Oh, we like to debate. Now, I used to love debating philosophy. Before I came to the Lord, I loved talking theology and philosophy and all that. I loved listening to reading all that stuff. I didn't know a thing. I thought I knew a lot, but it turned out I knew nothing when He got into me and said, let me show you how it really is. Because that's the only way this is known. What does He make known to us? Think what you know about God now that you didn't before. See, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, we come to know God. His very names, the names of God, reveal His nature, His character. And then as I know Him, He begins to do those things in my life. He becomes my shalom. He becomes my peace. He becomes my healer, my strength, all those things that His name points to. But they were foreign to me before I was His. But then as He came in, He started showing me Him. I get to know who God is. Same for every believer. That should put us in awe. The very gospel, it's spiritually discerned, He's saying. It's something the Spirit makes known. But again, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. What? A guy on a cross is going to save you? Yep, because He's my substitute. He was doing that for my sins. But it's the Spirit that quickens that. His grace, our faith, all comes together. Again, it's not intelligence. It's the Spirit making it known. But think what we do know. Just think of all the things that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. It's by Him that we know all these things. And that's what Paul is declaring. We speak of wisdom, but it far exceeds this world's idea of wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. Look at verse 8 and 9. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. How many people here have heard that verse before? A lot of us. See, you hear that and you go, oh, now I see. I get it. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about what's up ahead for us still. That which we're going to know once we're home and with the Lord in heaven. All these things that are up ahead of us. And you see this verse 9 put on plaques and put on refrigerators and all, and so often quoted as, oh, well, we don't see it yet. It hasn't even hit us yet. What's up ahead for us in heaven? It's not talking about that. This is one of the most misused verses around. That heaven will be glorious beyond anything we can imagine, yes, agreed. But that's not what these verses are referring to. This isn't about some future experience that we will have in heaven. This verse doesn't mean that there are, well, there's just things of God, deep things, we just can't understand them in this life. Don't even bother trying, it's just too hard for us now. Someday. It's not talking about that. Pastor, how can you say that? I don't. Paul does. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. What that's saying is, it doesn't come through your natural senses. What God has for us is not learned by taking it in through my eye or my ear. It hasn't entered into a heart in terms of physically. It's not known by the human senses, the things that God has prepared for us. But God has, not is going to, He has revealed them to who? What's supposed to say? To us, even Corinthians. He revealed them to us. How? Because we're just so smart. Through His Spirit. Oh, what the Holy Spirit brings into our lives when He enters in. The vastness, the deep things of God all of a sudden become available to us. And therein lies the awesome truth for us to soak in this morning. We have access to the very wisdom of God. Now let me read out the rest of these verses, then we'll make some points. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things also we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So much here, so rich. Let's camp on a few things. If you go stand out at the ocean, if you go look at the ocean, I'm sure many of us, well, we probably have different reactions. Many of us like to watch the waves. There's maybe a certain soothing effect and all. But if you're really not into the ocean, after a while, it might get kind of boring to you. You know, just it's a lot of water, and but that's kind of it. There's just a lot of water. What's the ocean? Well, it's a lot of water. That lady right there, my wife, she loves the ocean. If you know her, you I don't say anymore. She loves the ocean. And because of her, I learned to snorkel. You're going, oh, where is he going? Just hang in there. Because of Kathy, she encouraged me and taught me how to start using these. Put these on, start floating around. Now, I'll be upfront here. The first day, I'm pretty sure I was going to swallow the whole ocean. After the first day, I thought, you know, there's not many water left by the time I'm through. Couldn't get the hang of it. But she encouraged me, hanging there. I was trying so hard. Turns out you just put it on and float around. But what happened? The minute I put these on and got below the surface there, it opened up a whole world. Opened a whole world underneath there that the person who doesn't go under there and look, they won't, you'll never know it's there. Oh, you might hear about it, but you won't really understand it. But thanks to Kathy's encouragement, I learned to snorkel. And when you snorkel, especially if you go snorkel someplace like Hawaii, it's just beautiful. There are fish under there, you just go, man, Lord, you do good work. I mean, just the fish. You're going like, look at that. And so many different kinds and just colors and everything else. I put the mask on. I just begin to swim around. And there are fish there that you just wouldn't even believe. A whole world there. Right there below the surface. And yet I wonder if there are Christians who stand on the shore of the relationship with God and think they know the whole ocean. I'm saved. I know Him. Therefore, I must know all about Him. But they're like, it's like as if I stood on the shore of the ocean, took a little thimble, took a little cup full of water and said, look, I know it all now. People take thimblefuls of God and think somehow they know all of Him. But yet are missing out. And that's what this text is talking about. The call, dive in. Now you may or may not like the ocean. It's just an analogy. But dive into God is the invitation that He's setting before us this morning. And how? It's only done through the Holy Spirit. What do we learn about wisdom from our text? Go back to verse 11 now. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You might look at somebody and think you can pretty much know them by looking at them. And sometimes you can. You might guess and guess fairly accurately. That can happen. But in reality, you don't really know the heart of a person until you talk to them. Until they choose to open up with you. And you learn what got them in the condition they're in or whatever it is. Only that person, only the spirit of that person really knows them. And you're only going to get to know them as they share that with you. Look what it says here. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. There are people who are religionists, theologists. They can talk about God all day long from a theory perspective. But if they don't know God, they have nothing really to offer. And I hear sometimes people talk about God or talk about Jesus, and I'm sure you have that same experience. They'll talk about Him, and I just go, let's say somebody asks you, hey, do you know Pastor Dale? And they go, yeah, he's that 6'6" guy, long, dark hair, really buff. After a few minutes, you go like, no, that's not the Pastor Dale I know. Where are you getting that from? Oh, I just kind of thought I'd make that up. You know, people talk about Jesus, sometimes you go, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the God that He shows us and reveals Himself to be. Well, I have 12 PhDs. I don't care. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus you're talking about. Because that's only learned through the Spirit. But oh, for those who have the Spirit. Dive in. Don't stay on the shore. Dive in. That's the invitation. Know Him. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? What does the Spirit, what's the main goal of that? We receive the Spirit. What's it say? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He wants me to know it, but it's only to be known by paying attention to, walking in, listening to the Holy Spirit. As He uses the Word of God to help me know the God of the Word, as He gives the gifts and all, Paul's going to get into the gifts and all those things the Holy Spirit brings are ways in which you and I dive in. But again, do I stand on the shore? Do I hold back? If I do, I miss out. I'm going to miss out on all. He didn't save us to put us on the shelf. It's not, okay, get saved and go on hold till we go home to heaven. No, in getting saved, I come back into fellowship with God. The fellowship that sin broke, it's now back. I'm back connected to Him. To discover His purposes, His plans, to know my Heavenly Father. To know Him as He would have me to know Him. And that's all through the agency, if you will, the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Yield, walk in, pay attention to. For He's there to help us know what's ours in the Lord. You got to love verse 12 there, the part I picked out for this morning, that we might know. That we might know. Every believer, Every person who has received Christ as Savior has the Spirit of God within them. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't say, well, I'm going to give that person a whole bunch, but you know, I'm going to give you a little teeny bit. He gave you a little bit of me, but I'm giving them a whole bunch. Sometimes people feel like that. Wow, they just got... Now, people have different callings, different gifts, but God's no respecter of persons of the availability of the Holy Spirit. He comes on in. We're the weak link in this thing. See, that's the problem that we're kind of dealing with this morning. Our hesitancy, our holding back, our choosing to go with our own wisdom as we approach our day, our decision to listen to other people when we should be listening to God, about choices we make, priorities we have, and we rip ourselves off. And so the invitation from God to us is dive in, dive in. Explore all that He is, all that He has for us. You will never run out of things to explore. You can take up deep sea diving and say you're an explorer of the ocean. You will never explore all the ocean, will you? It's just way too big. You're never going to tap out God. You'll never get to the point that says, well, that's all I got for you. Nothing else for you to learn about me. It won't happen. We'll spend an eternity getting to know our God. But He invites us to do it now, if you're a believer, and He's given us the means to do it. And that we can know the deep things of God, the deep parts of the ocean, that we might know. It says in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And can he know them because they are spiritually discerned? Natural man, here's a phrase for the unsaved man, the unregenerate man. Man in his natural state before he's born again. That life that we inherited from Adam. And to that person in that condition, spiritual things are foolishness. They just don't compute. The natural man just doesn't get it. And so the natural man can read scriptures and they might understand the words, but the idea, the concept, the truth, it won't make sense. Even a believer sometimes, we can sit there and read the Bible, but if you're just cranking through it and you go, I don't know what I just read, stop, back up and say, Father, would you just cause the Holy Spirit to help me understand this text now? Holy Spirit, open this to me. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. Oh, okay, now I get it. So if you've had a dry spell, go back and pray. Say, Holy Spirit, show me something this. And He will, if we pay attention. But in particular, He's talking about the natural man. This is all foolishness. Again, it's kind of like we mentioned last week. You didn't have to have been here because it's kind of repeating the same idea. Natural man thinks that somehow he's going to think his way into God, reason his way into God. It's going to be some so totally awesome, intelligent theory or something. Yes. That's not how God is understood. That's not how we meet Him. And so man tries so hard and he struggles and wrestles with this. And the flesh says, oh, you don't want to believe this. The enemy says, don't believe it. And the sad thing is, all the things of the world are not worthy of our lives. They're not worthy of our lives being lived on them. The man tries to somehow make it work in a way it was never designed to. The natural man believes things like your life should be about making money. The natural man says, have fun. You go to church on Sunday, and then you go again in the middle of the week? And you even go to a home fellowship sometimes? That's weird. And you're like, ah, that's life. That's awesome. I'm knowing God. I'm finding out who I am in Him. Huh? No, that's weird, man. They want you to, you know, the world's about greed and money and accumulating. The world says, no, it's about being popular. Maybe you get so popular, you'll be famous. Oh, how great it'd be to be famous, huh? Go to the store and everybody wants to, oh, look, there's so-and-so. See, that's what the world worships, doesn't it? Or power. Ooh, look at that guy. He runs that company. Whoa. And you speak of spiritual things, it's like right over their head. You read that experience? I've talked to people sometimes, and please, it's only by the grace of God, but you can be speaking in a setting like this or something, you just tell for some people it's resonating, others are like, huh? That's not a put down. It's just because I was in that place once too, huh? Because you're not going to think your way into this. It's of the Spirit. But once you receive, that opens up all the wisdom of God. And that's limitless. That's awesome. For he, verse 16, just hitting a few points here about wisdom and all how this works. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Doesn't stop us from trying. Remember he said, no one knows the spirit of a person unless it's the spirit in them, and no one knows God except for the spirit of God. And he comes back to it again. He goes, who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? In other words, Lord, let me tell you how to do this thing. Lord, let me instruct you on how to do this stuff. I know the best way to do this. We try to tell God through our prayers and our actions. I mean, I would ask you to raise your hand right now, but I don't want to put him in an awkward position. But if I said to you, how many of you have ever found yourself trying to instruct God? You know, we do it. They said, but who of you has known the mind of the Lord that you might instruct him? But then the next sentence, but we have the mind of Christ. It's not me instructing him, but I have him in me, and he brings with me the mind of Christ. That humble, let this mind be in you, the humbleness, the wisdom, all the things that the Lord brings with him into my and your life as believers. So this morning, what are we looking at? What are we considering? God wants us to know the things that he has indeed prepared for us. Verse 12, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And a main way he's going to do that as he works in us and through us in our day-by-day circumstances. But our problem is when we come into the circumstances, too often we resort to us. We go with what we think we should do or what so-and-so said or just what we've seen or learned along the way from, and we miss out on letting that be the opportunity to know the things he has, to find his answers. Paul said, he said, I want to know, this was Paul over in Philippians, he goes, I want to know the Lord more and more. I want to know the Lord through the power of the resurrection and through the fellowship of the suffering. What's he saying? I want every circumstance simply to be available to God to teach me about him, to show me him, to help me dive deeper into him. And that's when we end our day saying, good stuff, Lord. Not so easy, but thank you, God. See, too often we end our day and saying, Lord, was that all it was about? That's because we didn't look for him throughout the day. And it wasn't supposed to be only about those things. We missed it. But if I will use every circumstance to let him help me dive deeper and deeper into the nature of God, the character of God, the provision of God, oh, that changes everything. That's a day worth living. That's a day with purposes in God. And the invitation is available to everybody, every believer, regardless of intelligence or looks or anything like that. What an invitation. God wants us to dig deep into the things of God, to dive in and go for it. If this doesn't get you excited, what will? I need to be excited about this. God invites me to dive in and discover him in everything I go through. But the question becomes, are we growing in this whole thing, this wisdom from God, or are we settling for what we have right now? Are we coasting? What would the Corinthians go on to do now with this whole admonition, this declaration, this invitation to dive deep into God? What will they go on to do? Will they go with man's wisdom, or will they now go with God's wisdom? And we look at this, we can look back across the centuries and go, oh, come on, you guys, pick God. Don't go with man's wisdom. Go with God's wisdom. Use that situation to let him show you. Go, Corinthians, go. Don't hold back. Why would you hold back? But then I wonder if the Lord would say, listen to yourself. Say it to you. We say, go, Corinthians, and the Lord might want to hold the mirror and go, how about you? What will I do every day? What will God find me doing every day? About the invitation to dive in and know Him better, right in the pain or the suffering, the joy, the victories, everything we go through. What will He find you and I doing? Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is ours to lead us in and explore the things of God. I want to put a couple of verses up for us. Because, see, I want us to think about the fruit of exploring. James 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom will have this result. If it's the wisdom of God, it's going to look like something. But if you have bitter envy, see, do you want to know when wisdom is from God as opposed to wisdom from the world, our own wisdom, natural wisdom? But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Wisdom from this world will have self at the core. What about me? I'm going to take care of me. It's all about me. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This kind of wisdom, that self-seeking wisdom, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, every evil thing are there. Want to know if it's from God or not? If there's envy in it, self-seeking in it, then you can know, not of God. But notice now the wisdom from God, but the wisdom that is from above, now notice what marks it, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see, that's what God's wisdom will look like. There'll be that peace that passes understanding. You'll be full of mercy, and they won't be demanding your own way, and it won't be all about us. What about me and my agenda? There'll be a peaceableness to it. It's just good reminders. He does all this, and it's going to look like something. It's a good guide to determine between God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is not worthy of living your life on. This morning, if you're not a believer, you haven't opened your heart to Him, received the work of the cross, haven't received Christ as Savior, Paul tells us where to start. You don't start by looking around. You don't start by looking within. You start by looking up. Namely, you start by looking to Jesus and Him crucified. It was interesting this last week, wasn't it? The whole big thing about the eclipse. Everybody wanted to look at the eclipse. You had to have your special glasses, or at least to go to TV and they could let you see something, you know. But everybody's talking about, got to look at the sun. I remember that morning, people would ask me, are you going to watch the eclipse? Are you going to look at the eclipse? Everybody was so, I understand that kind of a natural phenomenon, whatever, you know, we see that event, okay, fine, whatever. But people were so intent at looking at the sun. Oh, if people be half as intent to look at the S-O-N, sun. If they'd realize how much eternity is in the way, is in the balance. If they understand how important it is to look to the S-O-N. And that's our privilege to declare and make known to them. If you're not a believer, this morning look unto the Son, Jesus Christ. Look into what He did on the cross for you. There'll be prayer partners back here as we go to worship in just a minute, and they'd love to talk to you and pray with you if that'd be what you'd like to do. No one's going to make you do anything, but the Lord might be drawing you. Respond. But unbeliever, that's still considering the claim of Christ. You need the power of God. You don't need the wisdom of man. You need Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Open your heart. But believer, remember, Paul says, we speak wisdom. Not the wisdom of man, but we do speak wisdom, the wisdom of God, among those who are mature. Don't stay a babe. Grow. Grow in the wisdom of God. Be mature. One pastor I saw, his title for this message, this portion of Scripture was, grow up. Chose not to use it, sounded kind of harsh. But it's a good admonition. Mature. Dive in. Grow. Grow in what's available for us. And remember, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, I ran into the heart of man. Although it doesn't come through physical means. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Verse 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Believer, it's available. Available to every believer, this wisdom of God. Every believer can know, can dive in, go deeper in, discover the things that have been freely given to us by God. What an invitation. Let's not hold back. Don't stand on the shore. Dive in and keep diving in. Dive in every day. Dive in all day. Dive in right there in all of our circumstances. How awesome the Spirit-led life is. I'm going to invite the worship team up. They're going to help us now to worship the Lord and respond and just praise him. Again, if you want some prayer for any purpose, there'll be prayer partners over here in the corner. May he find us rejoicing. Heavenly Father, what love there is behind all this invitation. How awesome, Lord, that you saved us, that we might know you and you know us, and might grow in, might experience, might come into just more and more all those things you have prepared for us. Thank you for that. Help us every day, Lord. May you find us diving in, all to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.